You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Oda Shan. Oda, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oda, I'm so excited about your show, talking about your show in New York. And I want to go through some of the beautiful work that you have here. And it's I know it's a big show, and the title of it is Miss and Understand. So, of course, that's a play on words a little bit, as in, you know, miss, understand, but also misunderstand. Can you tell me a little bit about the title of the show?
Yeah, sure. It's I love that we're starting actually from that, because it was also the beginning. The whole idea started with this name, and I found it so interesting. I was almost playing with the idea I should make it Miss. Under is her first name, and Stand is the second name. So you could do so much, and it's so interesting that it gives you opportunity for a lot. But then I decided Misunderstand. It's just perfect. And, you know, it in the beginning, there was the idea of this woman who is not a particular woman, which is none of us, and at the same time, it's each one of us. And it could be a woman that can be understood or cannot be ever understood, because it is just impossible by her nature. Or it is a woman that wants to understand the world. So you can, I love leaving it open meaning to be found. And generally, I have that really desire that there is as much freedom as possible in every painting. So in the very many years ago, I just didn't give titles to my painting. I didn't want any word to be there. And at a certain point, I decided, well, there's so many untitled that maybe I will give names. They shouldn't be titles. So the idea started with this woman and how to define her. And I thought of all the names that in history, society, people have given to women. Names that I don't agree with, but they're names, calling women with certain words. And so we have in this show mainly women or symbols of women, and it's a whole homage to this imaginary woman made out of all the women that ever existed, and but also the ones right now in this moment, in this year. So that was the beginning.
Can you, speak of women who are given these certain names over the years that you don't agree with? Can you tell me a little bit more about that? And if I interrupted you, you could continue that line of thinking as well.
Oh, my God. I mean, my thinking doesn't go in line. You will notice that it goes in all directions, because also the theme has been so, it has given so much opportunity to go deeper and to discover new lands. So, for example, we have a title. The titles are this telling, you know, when you try to explain, when you have a name and you try to explain A for something. So we have a painting A for apple. We have a painting B for bitch. We have painting M for man eater. We have the biggest painting of the whole show, which is more than 5 meters to 2 meters high, and it's M for mother. And they all are in a way, I'm not sure if these are clues or keys to understand them. Maybe it's even a further misunderstanding them. But in a way, it's also challenging titles because they leave the observer, the viewer, to, you know, they give a certain entrance, but then everything is possible. I love that idea that everything is possible. And I love to preserve the space, which I love also about art, that there's so much possible. So in this show, we have these paintings. We have also something very special. It's a space in the lower level, in the basement of the whole exhibition, where you have, where I created a living space for this misunderstand woman, where it's entire little world created for her with everything designed in a different way or created in a way that it's not the usual way. And so I could describe a little bit. I don't know, maybe
tell me a little bit
would
about
you like that
space. Yeah, I'd love to hear a little bit about that space. Yeah,
it's a space that actually has no windows. So what I knew, I had 2 weeks to it was in between, it was the holiday for Christmas when the gallery closed, and it was perfect for me because I could come here and just dream and expand and be, I was all alone, and I came sometimes, you know, it was actually dark in the morning, and when I went out up ground again, it was dark again because it was the evening, and strangely, the whole, it was a feeling that time stopped. But so what we have in this space, we don't have sharp edges. So the whole space is soft. It's a soft ceiling. And you have, I made chairs that don't look like usual chairs. I made a table. We have a chess game. We have a bed. We have a fridge. We have clothes. We have a TV that doesn't look like usual TVs, and we have an emission that, then we have short movies that Misunderstand would love to watch. And it is questioning everything. It is questioning why generally are so many, why are we surrounded by so many forms that have sharp angles? Who decided that? Why do we live in houses? Why do we have squares where, if you observe our own nature, our anatomy, there is nothing sharp. There is no straight line. So I questioned everything that we have kind of growing up and being surrounded by all that, accepted as the norm. So starting from that questioning things that we have accepted, I wanted to break a bit free from things that have been accepted that this is a normal, it should be like that. And this goes through actually the whole show. It goes, we have almost 50 watercolors, and each one is probably a question, it's not an answer. I think the answer happens somewhere in these few seconds. And it's a very personal answer, and it happens between the viewer and the art piece itself. And whatever the answer is, it is the right one. So there is no prescription, there is nothing written, and everything is actually allowed in between, in this space between how does a viewer feel entering it, what does it mean to her or to him personally, what one is seeing, discovering you. So that maybe a trial to put it in words, which is a bit difficult because it's so much here, so much going on.
I love that. And when viewers come into the gallery, they can go down there and have really an experience down there, right? That's a very immersive. They're in another world there where they're seeing and experiencing your questions, really. Is that what happens down there?
I think so. I imagine and I hope so. My idea was also that it should be a space where people are allowed to touch. And there is a lot of, all of it is actually created. It is, but it should be, I really wish that it shouldn't be forbidden. And I think it's so important, this is sitting on the bed, sitting on the chairs, which maybe, I don't know, they have 4 feet. Well, that makes them two chairs, but the forms are quite organic. And I think, for me, they make much more sense than the chairs that we somehow got, have around us.
It sounds wonderful, and I hope the listeners get a chance to go down there when they come see the show. Let's talk about some of the paintings upstairs. I wanted to start with G, like Gorilla Girl. This is a painting that has a number of associations. Of course, I think of the collective, the Gorilla Girls. I don't know if that was part of your intention there, but that's such a known collective that's designed to be unknown, right? They're all anonymous. Was that part of your intention here to reference that?
Yes, definitely. I've loved this movement since I'm a child. I've been so fascinated. And I just, I had this passion of looking to all the archives, what they did, and the images. I love them. I love the real girls. And, in a painting, it's... I know there are many questions for many paintings, and I have to tell you that I start with idea, and it comes with my fascinations for them and how much they were, how would you say it, when they're in front of the time, how do you say in English when you are already in the future before the future has arrived? Well, you know what I mean.
Premonition, a premonition, a vision of the future,
And I start with an idea, but then there is a lot happening that this is about the process I work, that it's, there comes a state, it's a very slow process because the technique I use is very precise. It's almost like the old masters technique, and there are thousands of brush strokes in order to make it appear the way it appears. And in this, somewhere there, I lose the control, and it becomes a lot of the subconsciousness comes to the surface, and I'm not anymore. If it's a dance, then I don't think from a certain point I'm leading the dance. And this is actually a very precious moment for me. So I can tell you that every single painting started, with a concrete idea, but it completely developed differently, that I was consciously thinking or planning it to be. And this is very important. I know that, and I feel that, and that's why it's very important. I work alone. I never work with anyone in a room, and because this presence of, of a model or from the system would always bring me back to reality. So it's really this very concentration at a certain point, and there are things happening that later, if someone asks me, because there are questions, I have to go back to the state where I took the decisions, why it's painted in that way, in order to explain that I think after painting has been finished, it's very often it somehow departing, or I am not anymore. You know, it has its own life kind of situation. So I become an observer like you, and if I try to remember, but why? It's interesting. It's not, probably it's possible, but it wouldn't sound very rational. So I love at that point to give it to, but what does it mean to you? Or what makes you feel? So I give back the question, when you observe that painting we're talking about, gee, like real girl, what do you feel more than what do you think?
Yeah, for me, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, to take that literally from you, you know, the G like gorilla girl, it's in a, there's a number of symbols in this. There are bones and it looks like another gorilla curled up nearby. It almost seems like it could be a slightly different stage of evolution, you know, that we're witnessing something either in the future or in the past. But yeah, to me, it looks like a world that that could have or may exist that I've never encountered, you know. And in the context of what you are saying, as I'm learning more about you and your work, it also strikes me as something that is a way of almost a kind of a new feminist manifesto of some kind, a different way of perceiving women or a woman or the woman, something like that. It seems, it strikes me as that there's some story in there about a world that either doesn't exist or has existed or will exist soon.
But I like that. You see, I love that.
Yeah, I guess I always sometimes hesitate to say exactly what I think, because then there's, of course, which you intended. But I'm happy to talk about that, because that's of course, a big part of art. Yeah,
I'm very happy. I'm always curious, and sometimes I love, you know, these are different truths. There's not just one truth, and I love everyone has one, and I think it is so fascinating to know that. For me, the dream is if a painting touches, it changes something, and if it does, it's already, whatever it is, even if it is rejected, for me, this is, it's good. And of course, you know, my language, the world language, probably of mine, is the one that speaks with words, and I always find it much, I found myself much freer and much more able to say through painting. So probably I chose that as the medium to also think and feel and to say and to develop for me, to search for me for answers and truth. And sometimes things I don't agree with, I tend to, you know, it's in a way giving me, I do it with love. Because treating a difficult thing, treating something, I believe that it's only through the gentleness and through the love that you can find or you can transform it into something good. And this I've done, I haven't feared difficult things generally. But this gives me, you know, it feels good. It feels always good not to run away, but actually to face them and to find a new, maybe a new exit there, a new way of overcoming and questioning things that I would never understand. Yes.
I like that. That's so interesting, and it's been wonderful talking to you about this. I want to talk about one more painting before we go, and that one is A Like Apple. Also, you know, a new painting, and I have thoughts about this. I hesitate to go into them right away, but this, of course, is a, you know, is something else that's quite different. It appears to be a nude woman, and in of course a phone, an embrace of a phone, an iPhone, and it's glowing. There's also a kind of a sun or a light source behind it. Do you want to say anything about it, or do you want to hear what I read into this first?
I want both. Would you like me to be first? Would you like you to be first? I would love both.
Okay, what do you prefer? Would you like? I don't want to go first.
I don't want to influence you. You go first. Go first, and then
okay.
I'll tell you.
Okay.
Me as observer, you know, because as a creator, it's already over. I can't go back. But now I look at it, especially when we were hanging the show, and I can tell you a few things I have now as an idea. But first, I'll hear your version.
My version of it is that, you know, A Like Apple strikes me as, you know, and it and is a kind of original sort of sin almost, you know, that you know, in the Garden of Eden, there was an apple, right?
Mm-hmm.
The whole story we all know. And and so, you know, this seems both, you know, somewhat erotic to me, and the phone itself is almost in this sexual embrace with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the phone is something that, in this particular phone, something that is loved and adored by almost everybody, and is also
mm-hmm.
perhaps something like original sin. It's completely mm-hmm. disrupted a certain kind of intimacy in our lives, and that we don't seem to be able to easily regain. We're so attached to it, and this feels
mm-hmm.
like that. This woman, it's the phone is a part of her, and the light in it is or the light source. It's always struck me that phones have this, you know, quality, this numinous quality. You see somebody
mm-hmm.
looking at it, and it's a glowing object, right? It emits
mm-hmm.
light, and that in itself is almost like a kind of holy object, like, you know, when someone finds the holy grail, or, you know, it's like it's glowing. So, you know, and at the same time, it's this very kind of mundane thing. So those are some of my associations with it.
Fantastic. You see? We could stop the conversation. No, but I love the way you're actually the first. But I haven't spoken to anyone yet about the paintings. And it's so, I just enjoy so much. And yes, I, you know, about this light. It's a very simple, simplified painting. It's one of the most reduced ones. And it was important for me because isn't that these phones, they're so sleek and so cold when you touch them. The light itself, it's a blue light. It's a light that is not like the light of the sun, not like the light of the moon. It's a very own light where a whole other world begins, and it has to do a lot with the real world, but again, it's so surreal, and I believe the times we live in are the most surreal they've ever been before, or as much as I know, and I was fascinated by how it becomes, you know, we are so able to open so much up over there in this space inside of the phone, and there is so much truth about us actually losing your phone. You feel, lately I lost it, and I thought, oh, it feels, it reminds me of a moment in my childhood where my mom lost me in the crowd, and I felt, oh God, where is she? So it becomes this extension of ourselves, of all of us, and almost it grows. Probably if we keep on going like this, it will be one of our arms. And so we are already so connected, the feeling of holding it in our hand. And I was observing in Paris when people were coming out of the metro, I counted each one coming out on the street. Maybe there were from 10 people, 9 people who were holding the phone and looking into it, not even looking at what would be the next step or what surrounds them up there after being in the underground. So it's a fascinating, it's a very explicit, you know, the images that we would put, we almost believe more that they're more real than the one we see in the mirror. So it becomes this other kind of mirror of ourselves, and there are a lot of truth there, but also a lot of lies. So it's one of the most fascinating objects of our time, I think.
I think so too, and I'm so glad we spoke about this and exchanged the views in a way that was. It's so interesting to talk about work and discuss how it's seen from different ways. Oda, I want to thank you for talking with me today and for making this beautiful show. Of course, there's links and information here, so listeners can come see it. Again, Oda, I just want to thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me this your time and this opportunity. I love our conversation.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.